Leibtag, November 21st, 2021.
Green at my homeroom.
Remember that idea from school? Remember homeroom? Like your first class you go to? So that's Tinek, and we have to mute this guy. Oh, who's going to... Wait, where's on? Golubchik. You have to turn off the speaker, and you have to mute everybody there. You have to mute all the participants and make it so they can't unmute themselves.
I don't know if you're the host.
Participants? I'll just share with you a quick story. I was Shabbat in Shul in the Five Town.
Okay.
And there's an idea of what I call, when you study Tanakh, historical context, where when you study something, if you don't know the culture of the time, sometimes you can't appreciate certain things you hear. So in Ashkama Minyan, there was they're doing Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chazan started saying Rabbi Shmuel, and someone thought that he finished Rabbi Shmuel. So before he finished, someone started saying Kaddish Rabbanan. Right? So they had to tell him to be quiet. So one of the guys was nearby, went like this. Now, you guys are laughing, why? It's false start, an offsides on football. Now, someone who doesn't know American football and saw that, they have no idea what's going on. And someone who knows that, and there's so many things in Chumash that work that way. Remember, if you know Near Eastern culture, when you have something like the flood story and things like that, you can't begin. There's so many things in fact you appreciate way better when you know the context of it. Now, and sometimes it might even be necessary to really appreciate it. I just thought it was nice. Now, the other thing that happened was something which dawned on me Dafka Shabbos morning, which I want you to have your tefillin. I want to make sure I'm not imagining something. Oh, actually, it's in. I'd rather you see it in tefillin in the back of the book. It's Tehillim, Book 2. Tehillim, Book 2. You have all Tehillim. If you have a Tanakh, it's even better. Book 2 is going to be Lamed. I think that Tehillim is there. Book 2 is Lamed. Which Lamed is that? Lamed. Lamed, exactly. You said it this morning, didn't you? I know when to talk to in Shul, so I had a look. And they were dabbling too slow, so I had a... Take a look at that mizmor. Mizmor Shulchan Abayit LeDavid. What should that relate to? I want to do something related to Hanukkah. If I have mizmor Shulchanukkah Abayit LeDavid, what should it relate to? Chanukah Abayit, which might relate to Hanukkah. Some people say this on Hanukkah, right? So this might add you something to think about. And just so happens, Hanukkah time is right after Parshat Vayeshev. But that's not the reason for this, but it's a good way to remember. Tell me if there's something in the first 2-3 lines that reminds you of Mechirat Yosef. Chitanim Yordei Bor. Yordei Bor, that's easy. Now, what? Mabetza Bedami. Who said that? Mabetza, not Ruvain?
Yehuda.
Yehuda. What else was there? I'll give another one in a minute. The word dli, I just gave it away. How do you say pail in Hebrew? A dli. Why? Because what do you do with the pail? How I got to this, guys, always when you're bored in shul, you look at the English translations and see. And there's a machloket, kidi litani, how do you translate that? I'm thanking God, why? Because what did he do? Did he lift me up? Or did he take me from earth up to heaven? Got it? Up? Or did he bring me from down below and brought me up? Remember Dala Dalalanu? Remember that guy? Someone did that. Who said that? Remember when some guy went and helped give them water to the sheep? He got himself a shidduch, didn't he? It's good for your guys' age. No. It's a good minute. Now, so the word Dilitani relates for sure to a boar taking water out. But that boar had water or not? How do we know? Because Rashi says, Chumash says, right? There might have been a Hashem there. No. So there's definitely Yosef imagery, but you mentioned Mabetza B'dami, that's Yehuda imagery, isn't it? Is there anything else about Yehuda in that parak? Anything else about Yosef or Yehuda? I mean, was Yosef davening in the pit? Chumash doesn't tell us that, but we should hope so, because he's Yosef a tzaddik. And a tzaddik, what? We know he was screaming. And does God hear the scream of people, even if he heard our screaming coming out of Egypt and stuff? So that's one good side of it. But just for the fun of it, I want to look at the last line. What? Yeah. Why is Yehuda called Yehuda? Hapam Odet Hashem. Look at the last line. So I just see here, there's imagery from, oh my gosh, it's you grew up. Your kid, right? Yeah, Binyamin? Binyamin, right? Oh wow, okay. You got big. What happened? So there's imagery of Yosef and Yehuda, isn't there? Now, it could be just by chance, but the question is, why would Yosef and Yehuda getting along with each other have anything to do? I mean, how would Yosef and Yehuda recognizing each other and appreciating each one appreciating what happened? Because how does, at the end of the day, how does Yosef view this whole incident? What's he trying to do? He sees the hand of God behind all the events. He tries to reunite the family. So it could be, there's something called Yechezkel in Parsha Vayigash. We're going to read his Haftarah in about 2-3 weeks. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Nevot of Nechama. He's not predicting, he's giving direction what will bring the next temple properly. Remember? And what do we talk about? He takes an eighth from Yosef and an eighth from Yehuda and does some magic trick. And it's coming to explain what needs to happen in order for the return to be, for rehab to work properly. So the idea of Yehuda and Yosef coming together, because in Bayit Rishon, God sort of separated them, didn't he? With splitting the kingdom. But God didn't want to split kingdom, he wanted a coalition. God didn't want Yerubam to make its own, to Paskin like Yaakov and say Beit El was up there and split the kingdom. He wanted to share the power. Shom had too much power, and he wanted to share the power. But politics got in the way a little bit. So that's one thing. And then, that's book two. Now, does book two have a title or a summary? Wait, don't give them out yet. With the source sheet? No, not yet. It's the middle of the night. I'll tell you one. People won't listen. What? Oh, you gave them out already? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you gave them out. Okay, I had extras here. I'm sorry about that. My mistake. You can give out then. It's not fair. They have equal opportunity. And you shared with the Zoom people? Okay, that's good. And also, I forgot, this is my first time in... I've been with Rabbi Slachler. He was my student in 1986, 87, 88? What?
95, 97.
You're that young? Okay. I mixed up with Smilowitz and those guys, yeah. Okay. Right, Avital.
I did have
Avital. Avital, 96, that's right, the same year.
I thought you could introduce you and say that because the shadow brought us for us.
I don't remember, but I guess it did. Yeah. That was 10, not me. I just got in trouble. What happened? I'm sorry, so welcome. I mean, it's nice being here. I've been in Toronto, but this is, I kept had, this show is teachable. Understand what I mean? I'm not saying the other one wasn't. But they appreciate good children. So that means more might be relating to that. And it could be that the need for unifying Yosef and Yehuda, remember the concept, it makes it to your sukkah, doesn't it? Because the Ushpizim don't go in historical order, do they? Yosef doesn't come after, he comes at the end, right before David. Why did Chazal say that? It's Mashiach Yosef, Mashiach, I think sukkah has something to do with the Mikdash also as well, at least if you're a Kabbalist. The idea of Shekhinah. Sukkah for sure. So I'm just saying it could be that maybe this was written for Chanukah Tabayit, because what's the prerequisite? Why couldn't David build it? Why couldn't he build it? No, because there wasn't unity in this time. There was a terrible civil war. Remember? When he's called it, remember God told him an Ish Tamim Ata? In what context did Hashem call David an Ish Tamim?
David said it first.
What?
David calls himself.
Why? Because no, God called him that. But God had a shaliach. His name was Sheben, not Sheben Bichri. Not Sheben Bichri. Give me his name. Shimi Ben Gera, his Rebbe. What did Shimi Ben Gera tell him? Shimi Ben Gera. Remember him? Okay. When David's running away, when Absalom does to his father what he deserved. Remember? David got exactly what he deserved, according to Shimi Ben Gera. Look, what you did to Shaul, God did to you. And when he's leaving Yerushalayim, he's going down Rehob Bar Ilan. You know Rehob Bar Ilan in Yerushalayim? What happens in Rehob Bar Ilan on Shabbat? What? There's a minag, I think you mean, you throw rocks at people. So he was going down there and he got stoned, didn't he? It said it was Mamas Skila he gave him. And Ko Amar Shimi Bekalolo, what did he say? Say Isha Damin Visha Bliyal. And you're getting what you deserve. And his right wing officers, remember Abishai? What do you want to do with these fanatics? Let me kill him. And what's David say?
No.
What? Why? That's not Shimi talking. He says, that's God talking. And let him, because he says, let him curse me. Why? Because God told him to curse me. Remember that line? I hope. You can look it up. But I want, it's not the topic of this year. But it is the topic of this year. Because there's always good reasons for Sinat Chinam. And Shimi is sure that he's right, but David knows how to accept it. And he sees, if Shimi yells at him, he sees that God's giving him a son. So when David tells Shlomo later on why he can't build the Beit Midrash, because God told me Ishtamim, because in Sefer Shmuel, and when God talked to David, but God didn't tell David no, he didn't call him Ishtamim, he says, not yet, wait enough, your son can build it, because he has to be an Ish Shalom, he has to be a man of peace. And after, you can't build a mikdash until there's unity within the nation, and also other nations look up to you, as we'll see today. So so it could be that a prerequisite for Chanukah Tabayit LeDavid is Yosef and Yehuda recognizing both what they did wrong and how God's involved, and both of them seeing God behind the fence and learning to get along. Now, book two is primarily Mizmorei David. How do we know? Yeah. But it's not Tehillim, it's Tefillah. Know the difference? Tehillah is praise, Tefillah is prayer. How do we know that these are all Tefillot? Because what's the last line of the book? Look in Ayin Bet. Right. Sefer Shlishi begins in Ayin Gimel. Ayin Bet is the end of Ayin Bet is the end of book two. They're almost all Mizmorei David. Almost, I'm pretty sure they're all of them. What's the last line?
Okay.
Which is what?
These are all Tefillot.
Yeah, either all are finished or the big machloket. Is it Kalu or Kalu? Without getting told that. But these are Tefillot David Ben Ishai. Not Tehillot, there's lots of Tehillah LeDavid, it's much later, it's Kuf Mem Hei. There's a lot of Tehillot in the end of the book, but these are Tefillot David Ben Ishai, and they're all Tefillot, you know, part of his life. The either written by him, and Li Shlomo, the last one, is about Shlomo. It's not by Shlomo, it's for Shlomo. It's written by David, that's the proof, that Li Shlomo kept me by Shlomo, because it says this is Tefillah of David, and it's a beautiful prayer for his son, which we're going to get to at the end of this year. Already? So now we're going to get to work. I'll explain the title and we'll get working. Everyone knows Yitzchak's blessings, correct? And I'll just summarize this year, but I'm sure we've done before. A lot of people think that Yitzchak was deciding who's chosen, remember? And it's a machlokas between Rivka and Yitzchak, who's going to be the chosen son. And how do we know only one son is going to be chosen? Because Avram only had one son chosen, and we know Yitzhak only had one son chosen, and everyone assumes Yitzhak read Chumash, because it was written before creation. So he must have had it. That's why he kept Shabbat and kept all the mitzvot. So therefore, he knew it could only be one son, and he just followed the script. I'm joking. Now, if you look carefully, the blessing that Yitzhak gives Esav is not you're the only one, but rather, who's going to be the leader of the family? And in a nutshell, I think, I'm sure we've done this before, Yitzchak is not assuming only one son is chosen. What's Yitzchak assuming? Both are chosen. Why should he think otherwise? Because, remember there was a famine in the land a couple weeks ago? Parshat Toldot. And Yitzchak, Avram holdit et Yitzchak, what did Avram do when there was a famine? He went to Egypt. He got himself a Hagar, he got himself a lot of money. He did good. And what's Yitzchak want to do? Why shouldn't he? What does God tell him? No. Remember, you're a Gor Hasid? Remember, Gor Ba'aretz Hazot? Continue, finish it for me. Ve'yim Chavar V'chaka. Why? Ki lecha u'lezaracha atenak kol arzot ha'el. What's that mean? You and all your children are getting this land. It's. What should Yitzchak think? Both kids are chosen. There's no other logical thing. Now, if both kids are chosen, what do you need to do? I need to bless all my children, like Yaakov does at the end of his life. But before you bless all your children, now that I have a franchise, I have a team, I have to decide who's the quarterback, who's leading. If I have two sons, one yeshiva bachur sitting and learning, one, a man, an ish, not a male, but a man, who's a doer, hunter, etc., and a father, out of nowhere, can't see anything bad about his child, never happened before or again. It's blinded by, he thinks his kid is fine. He thinks that Esav should be what? The leader of the family. And therefore he gives him a blessing. We'll see in a minute the blessing. He doesn't say you're the only one. He's going to tell him you're going to be the leader. What's the proof that everyone's assuming that both are chosen? Because what are Yaakov and Esav making a business deal about? Not over who's the only one. What are they selling? The Bechorah. Now, is that a commodity? Ask one of your business. Can you sell that? I know you can sell your Olam Haba, you can sell. There's Midrashim like that. I mean, there's Hasidish stories like that. But that's a good question. Can you sell the Bechorah? In a nutshell, there's three concepts, and that's on the page I'll show you. There's what's called Bechira, which is who's chosen, and there's a process of a filtering process after God picks Avram Avinu. You would think that once Avram is chosen, God told Avram the Zarachana Tatetar says over and over again. What should Avram think? All his kids are chosen. Why should he think otherwise? In fact, that's why he takes Hagar, and was Sarah's idea. Everyone's assuming Ishmael is chosen. Who decided that Ishmael is not chosen? Don't tell me Sarah. Hashem decided. That's in Brit Milat, that's in Perek Yud Zayin. When God changed Avram's name to Abraham, saying, remember, Ani El Shaddai? When he changed his name, what happened? At the same time he changed Sarah's name and told Avram out of nowhere, you know, Sarah's going to have a child. He laughs, doesn't he? And God says, it's no laughing matter. And you're going to have a child from Sarah. His name will be Yitzchak. And? Again? Ved Briti Akimet Yitzchak. Yishmael, he's not a bad guy. He'll be blessed. He's great. 12 Nesim he'll have, but what? At Briti Akimet Yitzchak. He'll be born in a year from now. Now, why does Sarah send him out? Because he's not chosen. Sarah doesn't decide Garesh to Ben Hamazot Kilo Yirash. Kilo Yirash is not her decision because God decided Kilo Yirash, therefore they can't be in the same school together. Yitzchak needs schooling only with firm kids. Got it? You know what kind of birthday parties Yishmael is going to make? No, if Yishmael comes to Yitzchak's birthday party, what's going to have to happen? You just have to go to Yishmael's birthday party the next year, got it? And who knows what's going to happen? The bar mitzvah parties? Oh my gosh. So I don't care how good the education is, I'm going to send him to a firm school. And maybe when he gets older, but in the meantime, his friends are more important than his teachers. Now, that's, everyone knows the dilemma. Now let's go back to our topic. So if you look at the page I gave you, which should be, I'm pretty sure I've given you this page before, haven't I? You've seen it before, most of them? That's not the topic here. This is a tool for the main point I want to give. But I'll just review my point for this year. Is that what we know, on top left, like what we know, in the filtering process of who's being chosen, that God, it's God's team, the nation. God decides Avram over all the nations, or over anyone else. God decided Yitzchak and not any other child. And we'll see God's going to decide Yaakov and not Esav. When we get to Yaakov, all of a sudden what happens, the filtering process is over, and now everyone's chosen, no matter who they are, no matter how good they are, bad they are, no matter who the mother is, they're all chosen. Once we have a team, the father gives out brachot, based on the abilities of the children, but one of them has to be the bechor. What does Yosef do at the end of his life? He calls in Yosef and gives him a double portion. Remember Parshat Vayechi? Ephraim and Menashe get a double, or like Reuven and Shimon. Why is that a double portion? It's not just that they're included, because if any other children they have, if you have more children, they're part of those two tribes. Because there's room for two tribes because you get a double portion. And it makes sense that Yosef got the Bechor. Was he the Bechor?
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. We'll see that soon. Why Yosef is sure he's the Bechor. Why Yaakov is sure he's the Bechor. Even though he's not the Bechor. But he is the Bechor. Remember, Bechor doesn't mean born first. It means firstborn. Now, by default, who's ever born first is the firstborn. But the firstborn is the leader of the family, and you can lose it for bad behavior. You know, you have to, that's your potential if you live up to it. There was a nation that was born, like, I think, last of all the nations. We have to, and God calls them B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Because Bechora is responsibility. Who was I quoting? Hashem talking to Moshe right before Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Go tell Paro, who is the Bechor of the nations, pretty much, here in Mesopotamia, and you need to know something? God's picking a different Bechor. Now, so that's why I call N equals 3, N meaning the number of generations in the Bechira process. Now, Yitzhak thought N equals 2, that's why I explained before, and that's why he's a generation beforehand, and he thinks they're both chosen. Got that? And therefore, he wants Esav to be the leader. And later, Yaakov will get a job. You can be a teacher. Yeshiva, maybe shul rabbi. No. It doesn't work out that way. That's a whole long topic. Now, remember, Avram thought N equals 1. Why does Rivka get involved? She means well. Whenever people lie, they always mean well. Or do trickery. But why? Because she had a nevuah. That what? God told her, to the exclusion of her husband, and that's her, that's Rivka's secret, that's her essence. And her job is to make sure that only Yaakov gets a blessing. And she's sure she's doing the right thing. Did she? Ask your local parshan. But, I mean, the fact that they only mention Devorah's death, Menachet Rivka, and they don't mention Devorah, Chumash is alluding to something. We don't need to know about Devorah's death. We need to know that we're not talking about Rivka's death, don't we? And whatever Yaakov did, thanks to Rivka, he pays for it double, triple by Lavan, doesn't he? The way he, isn't he tricked left and right by Lavan? Mm-hmm. With the oldest and the youngest and the whole thing? So there's definitely a message here. How to interpret it, again, ask your local, actually not Parshan Bakel, politician pretty much. Now, now this idea of got it, Bechira, the filtering process up to God, then Bracha by the father based on the abilities of the children, and Bechor being the firstborn, by default who's born first, but you can lose it. That helps understand all the stories in Sefer Bereishit, and it helps us to understand Yosef's dream. Why? Because what's Yosef dreaming? What everyone thinks Yosef is dreaming is N equals 4. Now, what's the logic of N equals 4, that only one kid of Yaakov is chosen? Yitzhak, only one kid was chosen. Avram, only one kid. Maybe he's continuing. Now, if you remember your math, N has to be a finite number. I mean, it can't equal infinity. Remember that in high school? What's that mean? Why does N have to be a finite number? Because at one point, it's over. You follow? Otherwise, we have an MPP, we won't have a nation. And therefore, it could, N might equal 4, but it won't equal, shouldn't get any more, it's got to be less than 10 even, I think. It's got to stop somewhere. And it makes sense to be short, but it might be more. Once it went to 3, it can go to 4. And that's why no one likes to dream. But that's not nevuah, it's a dream. And maybe it's just a dream that happens. So, now, what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about good reasons. I want to explain what the brothers are thinking. I was just playing a game with, I play with the 18-year-olds. Who knows 3? Answer, who knows 3? 3 are the? Okay. And who knows 4? 4 are the? Imahot. Now, tell me, I want somebody to tell me, not you guys, why it doesn't make sense. Why is that something you wouldn't expect, that there's 3 patriarchs and 4 matriarchs? What would make more sense? I'll give you a hint. What? What would you expect to happen? There should be 3 and 3. In fact, if you want to double, if next time you visit Maratha Machpela, remember there's only one, there's room for 1 matriarch per patriarch, correct? And you're asking, there should be 4 avot because there's 4 imahot. Got it? Because it's a patriarchal society? I think. At least Chumash was. And therefore, every av needs a matriarch. But it makes sense. Oh, for some reason there's 4. I wouldn't expect it. Now, what I want to suggest is, in the time of Chumash and time of Yaakov Avinu, no one expected it either. Everyone's assuming there's only 1 matriarch, because there's only 1 matriarch. And what's the machloket among the brothers? Who's the matriarch? And what I call, what's Yaakov thinking? N equals 3 R. Got it? In Yaakov's eyes, there's 1 matriarch. And who is it? Now, why would Yaakov think Rachel's a matriarch? What? That's a reason for... Maybe back then. No. Those are reasons. I guess so. What? I mean... I'm saying it's his wife, isn't it? Now, give me a proof that in Yaakov's eyes, Rachel's his wife, to the exclusion of all the other ones. And I want to quote his brother, his half-brother, Yehuda. Right? Yehuda is trying to convince Satna Paneach to have mercy on old man father. And what's he say? Atem yidatem, kishnaim yadala ishti. And that's Yehuda quoting his father without any embarrassment. And he's telling the truth. Got it? Now, and why does Yaakov think that? Because that's his wife. Now, Levin pulled a fast one on him, so he's not going to dump Leah. And the Shpocha, no one dreamt, the half-bloods, There's no way they're chosen, you follow? They're no different than Hagar, Keturah. No one ever dreamt that Zilpah's kids or Bila's kids are going to be chosen. They may be able to do the housework and things like that, but they're not going to be the chosen nation. Who's going to be chosen? It's either going to be Leah's kids or Rachel's kids. Yaakov, for sure, it's Rachel's kids. It has to be. Now, what do Leah's kids think? Or no? Think like a religious Zionist. Why are Leah's kids sure that God wants Leah to be the matriarch? Besides the fact that it's their mother, right? Isn't God screaming that God wants Leah? It's almost like how did that Balfour Declaration come about? How did Leah sneak in there that night? How did Levin pull that off? That's got to be Hashkacha Pratis, right? The fact that Leah was able to trick Yaakov and you know that story.
And she has all the kids.
What? That, on top of that. But the fact that it happened, number one, and then God blessed them, and she had kids like that, and Rachel wasn't having kids, it's clear what does God want? God wants Leah. That's where it should have been. It was. She's the oldest. It's got to be. And Leah's not going to take Esav because he's not chosen. And all the wives have to come from Terach. You know that all the wives come from Terach. You know why? Terach's the first Zionist. What makes him the first Zionist? What? He's planning to go on Aliyah. And he stopped in Teaneck and his kids made Aliyah. What?
His first?
Haranist. Yeah, I mean, Haranist is. Some people Haran, Padan, Aram, but it's really Tina. Okay. Now, so what I'm trying to explain is Leah's kids, looking at Hashkacha Prati, the fact Rachel dies, she just gets to Israel, God doesn't want Rachel, it's obvious. Now, they know their father thinks, has the father ever been wrong before in this Bichur process? Yitzhak was wrong, wasn't he? Abram was wrong about Yishmael. And, of course, they're teenagers, almost 20 already, the college kids, and their father's over 100. Of course they know better. And therefore, they're growing up thinking what? They're the chosen ones. Everyone assuming there's only one room, one matriarch, one patriarch. Got that? Yeah.
When did Yitzchak realize that he was wrong about
it? I'm assuming after the whole thing, Rivka talked to him afterwards. He says when he realizes that when he gives a blessing and it works, he says "Vagam Baruch Hu." Yeah, he realizes something's going on there. But still, when he gives a bracha, he thinks that both are going to be chosen. He's just getting all mixed up. But when Rivka talks to him, remember, tells him, "Go get. We need a shidduch for Yaakov already." She must have explained to him. It only makes sense she explained to him what happened. And I'll prove it to you in a minute that he did. Now, what I want to explain is that once I have that background understanding that everyone thinks there's only one matriarch and Yaakov thinks it's Rachel and the brothers know it's Leah, Leah's kids know it's Leah, that explains almost everything that happens in Sefer Bereshit. Explains the whole musical. Why? Why is Yosef hanging out with Bnei Bilhah and Bnei Zilpah in the family? Remember?
Leah's kids here.
But that's where he belongs. And if he stays there, that's fine. Now, his father made him a special code? Okay. It reminds him of Rachel. They'll swallow that. But he starts dreaming that he's the only one? That dream, boy, they get angry, don't they? Now, why does he tell the dream to his brothers? I think God told him to. But and one dream, two dreams, and that gets him really angry? Because that's going to ruin Klal Yisrael, isn't it? If we're doing him a favor by letting him stay in the family, got it? But to be leadership, I mean, to be the chosen ones? No way. And the second he starts dreaming about, oh, he's a chosen one, right? That's going to ruin Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what do they have to do? They have to get rid of him, right? Now, the easiest way to get rid of him would be to kill him. They're also Bnei Noach. They don't want to commit murder. I can prove it to you, right? Remember? What did Reuven say? Al tishpichu dam. Okay? But what? Let him die begroma. He's a Shiva buffer. He says, don't kill him first degree and hide the body, but do what instead? Put him there and let him die on his own. And his plans go back and save him. Okay? And then what's you to say? Let's sell him. They don't want to kill him because they're Bnei Noach. And they have to dab mincha. But they can't leave him with the family. So what's the best solution? Ah, that was a great chop. Let's sell him. And so win-win. We didn't commit murder. We got money. And what else? And he's gone. And when Yosef, down in Egypt, he's sure that they're right. Why? The fact that he got sold, Hashkacha Pratis, his brothers were right. And what's he call his first kid? Menashe. Kinashani Elohim. He's abandoned. Yishmael was abandoned. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means God didn't want him. It's a family pattern. And he only remembers his dreams, you know, 20 years later when he has his doctorate already in divination. What? Yeah. Then he figures out, he becomes an expert in divination. And he has to explain other people's dreams to understand his own. Now, if Yaakov really thinks he has two sons from Rachel, and they're the chosen ones, if something would have happened to Yosef, how would he take it? One down, another 11, no? He'd be devastated, wouldn't he? Totally devastated. But he was, yeah?
Because that means that it's not really Rachel's kids that changed the fabric of the family. It would just be increasing end.
Yeah, exactly. No, so he would think, what would his ray of hope that maybe it's Binyamin? But he's Rachel's kid. And he won't let Binyamin go anywhere. Got it? He's going to be allergic to peanuts because he's he has no exposure. He's guarding him with everything. Now, what's going to happen? If something would happen to Binyamin, remember, isn't there a whole book about this? I'm telling you something that explains everyone's behavior. If once Yaakov thinks that, he's sure that he's right, explains why he's so protective of Binyamin, and he said, if you lose Binyamin, I'll go, be a go in Sha'olah. He's finished. Which means what? He's unchosen. And maybe it was Esav. Like all the gifts he's sending. Remember, he's showing Esav with the gifts that really you got the bracha because we're all bowing down to you. Remember, Yishtachvulcha b'nei mecha? He's showing that for sure. Now, and he can't get over it. He's pretty much an evangelist his whole life, isn't he? That's why he can't build a big dot. He can't fulfill his neder because he's going nowhere. His life is a tragedy. Now, Leah's kids, sure they're right. Imagine if Rachel had a daughter and she was raped. What would Yaakov do? He'd probably be a little more proactive. The fact that it seems like he did nothing, we read that yesterday. Who takes action? Leah's, Dina's brothers. In fact, I think they're called Achei Dina, aren't they? Shimon and Levi. Reuven, he's got another issue. But Reuven had a problem before him. Because when Rachel died, who should have gone to Yaakov's tent? Who should have gone? Leah, right? Of course. Imagine how you would feel if you were Leah's son and Yaakov took Bila, the Shifcha of Rivka, and dumped your mother. You'd get really angry, wouldn't you? You might even do something in protest to make sure it won't happen. And what did Reuven do? You read the Bible, didn't you? Yeah. It's not incest. It's a protest, isn't it? That's why Chazal say they move the beds around. It's the same idea. What actually happened is irrelevant, but it's an act of protest against his father. And that's why Yaakov doesn't like what happened. But they're doing it because they're sure they're right. I got my point? They're not just evil. It's not just, a wild son sleeping with his people. He's doing it because he's making a statement about his mother. Now, now we get to our title. What's the solution? Everyone was thinking there can be only one matriarch. Why is God giving Yosef a dream and telling him to tell it to his brothers? What was the dream about? Well, the first dream was what? We're all together, in the field working together. It means we can all be together and wealthy. The second dream was a strange one. What's happening in the strange dream? The second dream proves it's not Nevuah. Why? Because there's the Shemesh and Yoreach bowing down to him, and 11 stars. Remember who knows 11? Achadasar Kochvaya. Now, who's Yosef? Is Yosef a star? Or me? What's Yosef? Yeah, but if it's up in the sky, he's another star. He's just the brightest star, maybe. Maybe he's a planet. Maybe he's like, Venus or something. But he's another star, and they're all around him. In fact, if you know how the constellations go, remember, the planets stay in the constellations, your astronomy? That's really cool. If they're all around him, and he's in the middle, he's like a planet, but that's just for astronomy. But the main point is, he's not the center of the moon. So who is the center of the moon? That's why, dream's crazy. There's no way to interpret it. Now, what I want to suggest is, what's God trying to tell them? In that dream, God's telling them, grow up. And what? There's room for more than one matriarch. And even who? Even, you don't have to be a Slytherin to be chosen. Got it? There's even room for the half-bloods. Even Bila and Zilpah's kids are going to be chosen. No one dreamt of that. You understand why? Keturah's kids weren't chosen, even though they're from Avram. Why would anyone think Bila and Zilpah's kids are chosen? And that's why no one realized. But who are the 11 stars? His brothers. And what was the dream telling him? That you're not the only one. You're not the only one chosen. What are you? You're the Bechor, not the Bechir. And what's your job? To lead the family. But how many tribes are in the family? The 11 stars is key. Because what was God telling them? You're all, and there's no reason to fight. Right? Once you're sure there's only one of them, it's either us or them. Right? It's either it is Reish Yitzchak or it's not Reish Yitzchak. Right? And either one's right and the other one's wrong. And it can't be both. But it could be there's room for both of them.
So why should there be 12 stars?
What?
Why should there not be 12 stars?
There are 12 stars. I was just joking that one, because all 11 are surrounding one of them and bowing down to him. So I'm just using this. I was using astronomy that the constellations go in a circle and the planets sort of stay.
Well, the sun and star.
What? No, but that's the question. The center of the star. No, he's not the center of the moon. He's not a sun or a moon. He can't be. And there's only, that's all there is up there ever since day four. And there's Kohavim. Now. So I think God was trying to tell them. Now, when does he figure it out? He figures it out way later, after he understands dreams. And that was God, that when he remembers his dreams, when they all bow down to him. Now, how does he remember his dreams? Now flip the page over. I want to go back to Yitzchak's blessing. Yeah, question.
The main point of the dream was to show that it's not the case that one's chosen, the rest are rejected, but all are chosen.
Yeah.
Isn't showing a dream where everyone's bowing down to one of them?
That's a question. It sounds like Bechira, but it's really Bechora. Now, to understand Yosef's dream, yeah, your question is my title. I want to claim it's to understand Yosef's dream, you have to understand Yitzchak's blessing. And Eben Ezra's commentary. Got it? Okay. What's Yitzchak's blessing? Everyone knows it by heart? If I wanted to know what blessing Yitzchak was planning to give Esav, read the one he gave Yaakov. And I know in this show, in principle, you don't say Bayit and Lecha, right? Right? That was in the contract, wasn't it? If I remember? Anyone knows that story? Am I right? Or it's a medrash, or it's true? I heard that one of the conditions of Rabbi Adler when he came was that they won't say Vayitin Lecha on Mitzvah Shabbos. Yeah, check it out. I'm not sure who decided, but that was definitely in the bylaws of the shul. Something like that? No old timers here?
There's a lot of parallels
that would be working. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Especially in summer? Oh my gosh, what? Yeah, I mean, that's halachic reason already. Hanis Mirod, you can give halachic reasons for. Yeah, Bishop Berachs, and what do you call it? In one Kel Machmir for each person, you can't.
And that would be Rambam every year.
And have according to Rav in every Darasha? That's other shuls. No. I'm sorry, let's go back. So what was the blessing? Beitin lecha Hashem bital shmei mishmanei arz v'rav dekam v'tirosh. That's not you're the only one, is it? What is that? You're the... fiddler on the roof. You should be a rich man. The same blessing that Yaakov later gives to Yosef, isn't it? It's much more expounded upon by Yosef, but he's telling Esav, you should be wealthy. And Esav is a doer. Remember, he's a hunter. He probably works... He's a man. Not a male. He's an ish. And therefore, he can be wealthy because he knows how to run a business. And therefore, you should continue with that. Okay, that's Rav Dagam Petirosh. Yavdu chamim yishchafu lumim, meaning other nations should bow down to you. Hevig v'lachech yishchafu lecha b'nei mecha. What's that mean? Within the family, what are you? You're the senior partner. It sounds like a big family. But in relation to other nations, now in the background is, remember Orecha Ror, that goes back to Avram, v'inu v'eschalogoy gadol, v'abracha v'agadah shmecha v'yebracha, v'abracha v'farachecha. That's alluding to the v'eschalogoy gadol. Therefore, you're going to be the leader, not just of your family, you're going to be the leader of a nation that other nations are going to look up to and bow down to. That's what he's saying, I'm pretty sure. Now, that's not you're the only one. What is it? That's you are the what?
First,
you're the leader of the nation, not just of the family. We're talking about nationhood. And you'll be the leader of a nation that other nations are going to bow down to. Now, Ebenezer, there's an awesome Ebenezer here, which I want to use as an anchor for the shir. Ebenezer loves asking questions, especially when he doesn't like the other opinions. So he says, "Vesh berchoto kama shelot kashot." The first one, "Im bracha haita." Im bracha haita nevua, right? Ech lo yedad min nevua. Because if this blessing was nevua, and Navi can't make a mistake, because Ebenezer knew the Rambam. And Navi can't make a mistake. Got it? So if it's nevua, it's impossible that a Navi would say something and be wrong. Otherwise, it's not nevua. It couldn't have, this mistake could not have happened if it was nevua. V'achrim amru, ki lo ya Yitzchak Navi. What's the proof? Birchoto lo nitkadma. It was just, the whole thing was a mistake. It had absolutely no bearings at all. Okay? Gam elu tov. V'achrim amru, ma toret ish bedvarim achrei shaita machshavto shoysav. He says, how could the blessing work if he didn't have kavana for the right thing? He says, how could the blessing work if I thought it was Esav? It shouldn't work if you don't dine kavana. So he gives all the questions. Then he says, he dismisses all of them. Banochom beinai highlighted, shebirchat hanavi ke'ein tefila. It's not nevua, right? And it's not a bracha. What is it? It's tefila. And what is it? Yitzchak understood God's choosing Avraham Avinu to be a light to other nations, to start a nation, and you bring God's good blessings to other nations. Therefore, assuming that they're both chosen and Esav's the leader, I want you to be the leader of a nation that's going to be what? That's going to be a nation other nations will respect. Bowing down not in the sense of fear, but in the sense of awe and respect. Okay? V'Hashem shema tefilato. Why? Ki ikar zot habracha al zaram. He says, this isn't a blessing for Yaakov or for Esav, or just for, it's a blessing on the nation. Assuming the nation is going to be the nation that God's envisioning, Yitzchak's blessing is, whoa, he's looking generations ahead. Once we become a nation, and he's hoping that Am Yisrael would be Esav's and Yaakov's, and they'd work together, and we'd accomplish that goal. Now, what happened? It turns out that God didn't want Esav, and it has to be. Now, what I want to show you is that what Yitzchak was thinking in the Hava Mina is actually Yosef's dream. Why? Yitzchak's off by one generation. And what Yitzchak thought Yosef was, I mean, what Yitzchak thought Esav was supposed to be, that's what Yosef ends up being. Why is that? What are Yosef's two dreams? The first dream is you should be a rich man. Isn't it? Maybe I'm stretching, but we're in the field gathering wheat. Remember of Rav Dagan V'Tirosh? It's talking about we're all, and we can all be rich. But maybe I'm the richest kind of thing. And that's true. If you know Shevet Ephraim I think is the best, definitely the best land. It's Ephraim and Menashe together, and Binyamin. Especially Ephraim and Menashe. That's like half of Israel, the center of Israel. That's the best land. Then, by Chalot, let's say you're living in Yehuda and you have a lot of cattle, it's much better to have them graze up in Shechem, isn't it? There's a story about that. No. Then he has a Chalom, the second Chalom, what happens? He said, the sun and the moon, and 11 stars are bowing down. Who's the sun and the moon? It made no sense, right? Now, what country has a god, a sun god, with a really bad name?
Egypt.
And their calendar is stolen. Always was stolen. What area of the Middle East has a lunar god? And I think they even a symbol that looks like a moon on top of something. What? Yeah. And Yishmael, doesn't he? And to this day, their calendar is lunar. If you know Ramadan, it's every 12 months. That's it. Like, their whole calendar is all confusing. Now, who bows down to Yosef? Does all of Egypt bow down to Yosef? Don't they? Doesn't the whole Middle East come and bow down to Yosef? They come from all over Mesopotamia because that's a breadbasket. There's a big famine. There's global warming back then. Or cooling, whatever it was. Egypt recycled. Egypt was prepared for it. So what I'm saying is, what does Yosef realize? Who is the sun and the moon? That was... Now, that bracha is what? Now go back to Yitzchak's blessing. Yavdu chamim ishtakha le'umim. That's the sun and the moon bowing down to Yosef. I mean, coming to Yosef for food. That's the nation he's heading. That's international. That's exactly what happened with Yosef and his brothers, isn't it? Because he has half brothers as well, and they're all bowing down to him. And therefore, when the brothers come and bow down to him, what's he realize? Oh my gosh, remember? When they bow down, then by Yisqori Yosef et Chalamatav, and now he understands the meaning. And he realized, I'm not the only one. First of all, that it was nevuah, or it was meaningful. And he's not the only one, brother, he's a Bechor, and the job of the Bechor is not to take all the privilege, it's the job of the Bechor to take responsibility and bring the family together, and the rest is what Yosef does to bring the family together and see the hand of God behind all those events. Now, I want to bring, remember I told you that Perek in Tehillim, in Book 2? Open up your there's highlighted, I want to show you the whole Perek. Remember, Tehillim Book 2 began with Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayit LeDavid. Then we wanted to build a house, but God said, not you, but your son, because you have to have peace in your time period. Kisholom Shekhi Diab Yamav. Kisholom Yashimo. That's not prediction, it's direction. And you were Nish Damim, and you have to wait another generation until it's ready. Now, who ends up building the Mikdash? Shlomo, who's in Nish Shalom. In the time of Shlomo, do other nations bow down to us? Big time, right? Egypt wants to marry, Pharaoh wants his daughter to marry Shlomo. And people bring him presents from King Levin. Everyone's, we're sitting pretty. The first time that the bracha of Yitzchak, of Yabdu Hamim Shavu Lomim, happens in the time of Shlomo. Got it? Now, I'm going to show you imagery from Yitzchak's blessing in the last parak of Book 2. Because remember, Ebenezer says it's a tefillah? I want to show you the tefillah that David's writing for his son Shlomo. Now look at Tehillim Ayin Bet. That's a famous one. What page is it?
48.
Page 48? Oh, 448. 488. Oh, you mean in the Siddur. Okay, 488. Li Shlomo means not by Shlomo, but for Shlomo. And if you know the Shira Mishpat and Svaka, you can't miss it. It's like the icing on the cake on that Shira. Okay. Li Shlomo, this is a prayer. Elohim, Mishpatecha le-melech tein, v'sitchat le-ben melech. Yedinam ha-betzerek, v'enecha be-mishpat, Yisru harim shalom la'am, u'kvot bitztaka, yishpot aniyam, v'yoshir divne avion, v'yitake oshek, v'ruchim... Okay, got it? That's what he called. That's David's hope. Remember, David was known because he did mishpat and tztaka l'chol amo? And he's finding the first time in Jewish history where at the end of David's career, there's no more idol worship, and we're prosperous, and David uses the prosperity to do mishpat and tztaka for his whole nation. He takes the prosperity and uses it properly, and fulfills one of the key goals of Am Yisrael being a nation, to be like other nations. Now, look at the next line. Yeru'cha im shemesh u'tnei yareach dor dorim. Sound familiar? Shemesh in yareach? Okay. Yareach kemitar al-geiz kervim. What do you call it? That's again, that's prosperity, isn't it? With rain. Yifrach b'yamav tzadik, word play of pricha. And Rob Shalom, did you see the word Shalom all through the parak? Now listen carefully. Lefanav yichru tziim bo'ivav afar yilachechu machay tarshish v'im mincha yashivu machay shva usva ashker yakrivu. What's that? Isn't that Yitzchak's blessing? V'yavdu chamim mishachva le'umim? Wait, the next line puts the icing on the cake. V'yishtachvu kol melachim kol gaim yavduhu. Yavdu chamim yishtachvu lecha le'umim. So I see an echo of Yitzchak's blessing in Tehillim Ayin Bet. Just like I see an echo of in the first book in that unit of Yosef and his brothers in the pit in Yosef Mu Yehuda. Okay, now, but why would other nations praise him? Not because he's so wealthy, because of what he does with his wealth. A king, a wealthy kingdom, and using their wealth and prosperity to do chesed. One second. And then, he goes on, how great it should be. And then, the idea of bracha coming at the end. And then, how's it end? Baruch Hashem Elohim Elohim Yisrael, Sed Nifut Levado, Baruch Hashem Kvod Machuto, V'melech Kvod Karz, Amen V'amen. That's the ending of the book. But it's Shem Hashem, remember, Amakom Hashiv Hashem 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 Hashem. So you see temple imagery, but I just see in that parak an echo of Yitzchak's blessing to Esav. And if Ibn Ezra is right, that his blessing was a tefillah for the nation, that's exactly Ayin Bet, especially in light of Lamed. What was the Mishmor? What was the first one? Lamed or Lamed Aleph?
Lamed.
Lamed. And the book ends up book two. Okay. So that was, I think my time's about up, yeah. So that's what I want to share with you, of how Yitzchak's vision, in light of Yosef's dream, explains what's going on in Sefer Bereshit. And there's terrible things that happen, what the brothers do to each other, isn't it? Tons of terrible things. I'm trying to show you that everyone means well. Because each one has a certain hashkafa, based on a misunderstanding of the Bechira process. And that each one, and they're doing the right thing. And that's my, I mean, there's always good reasons for the Sinat Chinam. When the brothers tell Yosef, it's not petty jealousy. It's hashkafet. They're sure because they understand the Bechira process a certain way, or misunderstand it. And Yosef, now everyone's to blame, but Yosef takes responsibility. But Yosef sees, at the end of the day, he learns from all those experiences and makes a, and wants to bring the family back together. And I just brought that as an example. Okay, the rest, what I did tell him, that was objective. Hashkafa you can figure out on your own. But we see that all the time. There's always good reasons. Remember, we have to draw a line here, we have to draw a line there. This can't go too far and everything. So maybe you do every once in a while. But whenever possible, I think, always look. It's always dangerous when you have a certain understanding of Judaism to the point that when someone doesn't agree with you, you got to get rid of them. You have to hate them, you have to do, you can't work with them. And there's value in this diversity because if you're going to be God's model nation, for 70 nations to get along around this concept of godliness, we have to be modeled that 12 tribes can also work together with different flags. Yeah, Terry?
I only get time.
Yeah?
What's your understanding of why we're
I just like the Ramban. Ramban, I'll summarize the Ramban. Ramban says when Rivka was young and got married and had that baby, she thought her husband knew everything. And she went to yeshiva. And as she got older and brought up a family, oh my gosh, he doesn't know so much. But then he says, why doesn't he tell her later on? He says, she was afraid, it's classic insecurity, that if she would tell him, right, he wouldn't believe her. He'd say, mothers, for the same reason they can't be judges because they're too emotional and stuff like that. So maybe she was hallucinating, but she loved her sit so much that she's blinded. But that's not that Yitzchak said that, but Rivka was afraid that Yitzchak would think that. So she was afraid if she would tell him, it would ruin the whole thing. And Adar, but that's why God told her and not him. He says, there must be a reason that God told me. She's sure that she's right. Got it? And she can't tell him, he just doesn't. I can bring a lot of examples that you're... You know something, but if you tell, they won't accept it. A person has a certain tfisa about their kids. There's a wall. You can say it 15 times, they won't buy it. So it's when you have a certain hashkafa about your children, for sure, you can't listen to another opinion. You might listen, but you won't accept it. Yeah.
The fact that the first king was chosen from one of the sons of the Rabbah, it seems to me that in the end it was Rachel's line that was chosen, but then they lost it.
There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. If you have it there in Parakeh, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, it says, Ruvain Bechor Yisrael, Kihu Abachor. If you have it, Binyamin, find it. Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Parakeh. Yeah, Parakeh. It says, Ruvain Bechor Yisrael. Why? Kihu Abachor. Remember? He's the Bechor because he was born first. That's why he's firstborn. But what happened? When he messed up, Kichilel Yisrael Aviv, the Bechor went to Bnei Yosef. But now continue.
Okay.
I think, got it? And that's the split kingdom later on. When Shlomo takes too much power and it gets out of hand, God wants him to have a coalition. He doesn't want a split kingdom. He wants a shared government. He wants Yosef to run the economy and he wants Judah to run the temple. And they can work together. You can have a coalition government. That's what God wanted. And each side, remember, that's the famous Medrash of Yerovam. We got to Yerovam, Ani Ataba Ben Yishai Neteaba Gan Eden. And what did Yerovam ask? Mi Barosh. And he said, Ben Yishai Barosh. Hi Achi Lo Be'ina. And that Midrash says it all, doesn't it?
How does Yehudah wind up being in charge then?
What?
How does Yehudah wind up being in charge then?
Because he's cool. He's the best. Because Yehuda, you have to be born first to be the firstborn. You have to be the best.
But Yosef still got the Bechor.
He got the Bechor, the technical Bechorah, but leadership went to Yehuda. But Yosef, you need both. Yeah, real quick. Okay, I have to go in a minute. What?
Who did Israel have us for that?
Reuven called Achor Yisrael, despite the fact that he has none of the trappings to go with.
Yeah. I think that's but remember Pachas comes. Yaakov gives a reason why he lost it. That's why he's trying to get it back when he wants to be the hero of the Yosef story. Yeah, real quick.
Who are B'nai Mal?
Who are B'nai?
Who are B'nai Mal? Yitzhak's blessing. Says Mishtah Mulcha B'nai Mal. Who is that? When does it come true?
I think it's the Sap brothers.
How's that?
Oh, Imecha.
Yeah.
B'nai Imecha. I think that's maybe his brothers. Achecha. One has to be Achecha made by that brothers and his own brother. It's not Yosef. It doesn't end up being Yosef. I mean, that's what Yitzchak was thinking for Esau. But I think it's in general about the nation in general. It's not specifically him. It was a tefillah for everyone in the future. But the idea is that within the family, you're the leader, and around you, the idea you're a nation. Every people look up to within the family. You need leadership. You have to work together. Okay. All right, thank you so much, everybody, and have a good week. And hopefully, things will get better and. We'll get back to normal again.
So we'll see you in Princeton.
Yeah, we'll see you in Princeton. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah.
Last time
I just have to run real fast.
Last time you were here, you talked about the concept of difference in time, the missing years.
Yeah. All the women.
Yeah.
Stop the recording.
Yeah, stop the recording.